The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and then tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Most of you know and have experienced how a day can make all the difference, right? Things can look pretty bleak one day, and then the next day, the sun comes out, the snow melts away. And in Maine, it can be a day of that and then a day of snow the next day. And so we know that a day can change things quite a bit. As we've been reading the story of Jesus' passion, his death last week, and moving into the resurrection this week, we are reminded once again the difference that a day can make. Thursday night, we were here, and we were reminded of the events of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the Last Supper, Jesus' agonizing prayers in the garden, his betrayal and arrest and trial, the beatings, the crucifixion, the death and burial. All this was in stark contrast to the preceding days that were filled with praises and hallelujahs as Jesus entered into Jerusalem the week before. Scripture says very little about what happened on that Saturday, except what we read about in today's scripture text, how the religious folks went to Pilate and asked that the tomb be made secure, having the official seal put onto the tomb, and having a guard posted to make sure that some of the things that Jesus had said about being raised again couldn't happen. They wanted to make sure that Jesus stayed in that tomb, dead or alive. Saturday was a tough day, though. Saturday, the day after Jesus' crucifixion and burial, that Saturday, can you imagine how his followers felt? I would say it would be a no-courage kind of day. The Jesus movement had seemed to be totally defeated. There had been a rise and an excitement, and now Jesus was dead and in the grave. The disciples were huddled behind locked doors. They had scattered 2 days before. What motivated them seemed to be fear more than anything else at this point. This is where hope was lost. Saturday was a day where courage was gone, where hope was lost. These followers had no idea what to do next because every hope that they had just a few days before had been crashed to pieces when Jesus was put to death and buried. What could be next? What was possible to be next for the disciples? They had no idea. And they didn't remember what Jesus had said, because they could have had hope. They should have had hope. I love how the kids put it. They said, "We had no idea." And John says, "Well, he actually said like 100 times that he was going to rise from the dead." Oh, yeah. But they didn't have that hope. They maybe thought that that was just a figure of speech that Jesus was using, or he was speaking in parables or something once again. Jesus had told them that he would not remain in the grave, though. He had told them that big things were going to happen on the third day. But they were without hope. They were lost. Their courage was gone. the disciples and the followers, even on Sunday morning, were living in this desperation Saturday kind of state of mind. This hope was lost, and their courage was exhausted. Their expectations were grim. You realize that the disciples were still hiding, and the women decided they were going to go to the tomb because they figured that they needed to put some spices and perfumes on the corpse of Jesus. Desperation Saturday was still lingering in the air because it was all they could imagine. It was all they could see. But the truth of the matter was is that Saturday was over. Saturday was gone. Though these discouraged and fearful followers of Jesus didn't realize it, Resurrection Sunday had arrived. It was there. And Resurrection Sunday was a day that was unlike every other day that preceded it. For it was a day that was filled, first of all, with wonder and with surprises. Imagine the surprise that they had when they came to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. When there's an angel there, the guards were laying there like they were asleep or dead. The angel saying, "Jesus isn't here, he's risen." And there was a running back and forth of the women and the disciples from the hiding room to the tomb. Mary ran home, Mary Magdalene claimed that she had seen the risen Jesus and had a conversation with him. Two other followers on their way home to Emmaus ran back to Jerusalem proclaiming that just minutes before they had seen Jesus and they had walked with him and talked with him and even eaten with him. No one knew what to believe. No one knew what was going on. There was confusion. There was wonder. There was surprise. Resurrection Sunday is a day of wonder and surprises. We were reminded of that down at the waterfront again this morning, the surprises. Resurrection Sunday is also a day of renewed hope. Renewed hope. Jesus appeared in the very room with his followers, and he told them, "Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid anymore." Because Jesus truly was alive. Despair and hopelessness was a thing of the past. Jesus was alive. Hope was reborn. Resurrection Sunday, a day of hope. It was also a day of revelation, too. A day of revelation. Jesus explained to those who were walking on the road to Emmaus, and they explained to his disciples how all of these things were predicted, how all these things were supposed to happen to the Messiah. And Jesus went through the scriptures and he said, "This is why this happened. This is, now do you see the picture of what God was doing?" He revealed his scars. He encouraged them to touch his wounds to see that he truly was there. He even ate with them, revealing to them that he wasn't a ghost as they thought that he was, but he was truly alive. This day of revelation was one where their eyes were finally opened to the bigger picture of what God was doing. And this Resurrection Sunday was also a day of new life, as we've been talking about this morning, because Jesus was raised to new life. He was dead, now he's alive. His followers were given also a new reason to live themselves. Instead of being huddling and hiding and living in fear, now they had a new purpose for living. They had a new reason. They had a new mission to proclaim. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the good news of the resurrection. This is what the disciples' lives from this point on would be about. They were given a new life. And not only were the disciples given a new sense of life, but the whole world was brought into a new existence. From that moment on, nothing in this world would ever be the same. Nothing was left unchanged. Death had been defeated by Jesus. The promise of new life and eternal life was now a proven reality. The world would never be the same again. See, Jesus His resurrection brings to us a new life, a new way of being, a new way of understanding and seeing the world, a new way of existing. And it is because of his resurrection that we have this new life. Now, we are called now to live as people not of Desperation Saturday, but to live as citizens of Resurrection Sunday. So how shall we live? Well, first of all, we should live with wonder and amazement of this world, of what God is doing and what God, and how God's love is expanding to people all around the world. We should be amazed at what God is doing rather than standing back and going, wow, this world's just falling to pieces. We should be seeing and looking for what God is doing, because God truly is doing amazing things in this world. God isn't finished here. No, God is continuing to bring this life and this abundance. God is continuing to love this world and continuing to try to draw this world back into God's presence. God is still busy, and we should be amazed and wonder, and living in wonder of that, being surprised by God's love. I know I'm surprised by God's love of me. We should be amazed that God's love would extend to not just us, but to our enemies also. See, we should be living as Sunday people, filled with wonder and amazement at what God is doing. We should also be living as people who are filled with hope. Filled with hope every single day. Despair and fear have no place in the life of a follower of Christ, because Jesus wiped that all away. There's no need for despair. There's no need for fear. We can live as people that are filled with hope. When others tell us that all hope is lost, we should shout back, my hope is built nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. When people tell us that we should be afraid, we should respond with confidence. God gave me a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. 1 Timothy. See, Jesus' message to us is that Saturday, Desperation Saturday, will always be followed by Sunday. Weeping may go on all night, but the scripture says, joy comes in the morning. We don't need to live with that despair any longer, because we know what tomorrow will bring. We know what today has brought. And God is calling us to live as resurrection people. Living as Sunday people also means that we're living with an openness to God's revelation. As just as Jesus revealed his scars and his wounds to his disciples, God is continuing to wanting us to have a deeper understanding of who he is, of what God is doing, of what this new life is all about. And God wants us to be open to learning something new about this life with God and understanding the truth, maybe from a different perspective. Not just the perspective of our own lives, but the perspective of maybe the lives of the least of these that Jesus speaks of. Understanding what life with God can be like from other cultures and other places and with other people. You see, God is revealing truth to us, and continues to do so through his word and through his son and through his Holy Spirit and the church. God is revealing to us. And our openness to that, to see God doing this new thing, is important for us. For us to understand how to live in this world. Living as Sunday people finally means that we live this new life with Jesus every day. That it is all about new life. And this new life means having a new world view, seeing people through the eyes of Jesus, seeing people from wherever they are as Jesus would see them, living a new way of life, following in Jesus' footsteps, as Jesus went about serving and caring for and helping and forgiving and loving others with grace and compassion, so we too should be following Jesus in the same way with people. And this new life also means, as it was for the disciples, a new mission, a new purpose. To bring this message of God's love and hope to this world that is struggling ever so hard to get out of Saturday. We have good news, folks. And that's what this new life is about, is to help us to bring this news to people. To live in a fullness and an abundance as God gives life to us, proclaiming by the things we do and the things we say. Now, admittedly, you may be stuck in Saturday yourself. You may be in that desperation Saturday state of mind. But guess what? God has already flipped the calendar. In the coffee break room in heaven, the calendar says Sunday, every day of the week. If you may have difficulty seeing the amazing things that God is doing. Your life may be filled with fear. It may be filled with despair. Hope may seem like a distant dream to you, but the truth of Jesus' resurrection can set you free to leave behind the desperation and the hopelessness and enter into the wonder and amazement and the hope and the revelation and the new life that is found in Jesus Christ, who is alive, who has defeated death once and for all. I know that Jesus is alive. My life through Him has been transformed. I have been filled with peace and hope and joy, love, forgiveness, and grace, not of my own doing, but through Jesus Christ and His Spirit. I can testify to abundant life. And through Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, this new life is available to every single person who is willing to accept. Now you may be stuck in Saturday, but His invitation to you is to move on. Move on from the last day of death into the first day of life. Don't live in desperation Saturday anymore. It's Sunday, and that's a great place to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You that You have something so much better for us than what we have pursued ourselves. That You have life, that You have abundance of life, that You have forgiveness, that You have grace, that You have hope. Lord, the reasons that we stay in Saturday are maybe complicated and numerous. Help us, Lord, to move on. Help us to let go. And to live as You have invited us to live, as Sunday people. May Your resurrection be seen in each one of us. Amen.